Now, over the last couple of weeks, last about three and a half weeks, we've all been following the horrific story of the snipers up in the D.C. and Washington and Virginia area. And we've all been asking, who are they? I mean, that's been the big question, right? Who are they? Who are these people doing this? Or who is this person doing this? Even the police got into it, because they weren't sure for a long time, were they? We don't know who's doing it. Who's doing it? And then the news media. Oh, the news media. Well, each reporter seemed to have their own theory. And then they brought in specialists and consultants and people with special backgrounds to speculate on who might be doing it and how they might be doing it. I mean, it got to be ridiculous. I had to turn the dumb thing off because it just was on all the time, you know? And as they went on, they decided, they kind of, as the weeks went on, they kind of narrowed it down, and they thought, well, it had to be two white guys who were living out what they had played on video games. As we see, now that things have come to an end, they were about 90% wrong, weren't they? Didn't have anything to do with that at all. Speculation. It ran rampant through those two times. Speculation. Speculation. Drove me crazy. Well, Jesus, in our scripture today, is checking speculation of his own, but not about snipers. Jesus is asking some questions because he wants to see what kind of an impact he's making out there. So while he's walking on the roads around Caesarea and Philippi with his disciples, he asks his disciples, he says, who do they say I am? What are they saying about me? And then he even narrows the margin down and asks them, well, what do you say? Who do you say I am? And he had a good reason to ask these questions because the times right then were very scary, very nervous, very scary and just uncertain times. That's the word I'm looking for. Very uncertain times. Because they had just really gotten done with dealing with John the Baptist and were still trying to figure out who he was or what he was all about. And he kind of had everybody all in a tizzy. And now this Jesus guy comes on the scene and he's telling them they gotta change their life, change the way they worship. You know? He's chasing demons out of people and doing miracles. And so they're all kind of like, who is this guy? What's going on here? And there's lots of speculation going on. Plus, he hasn't really formally come out. He hasn't gone to CNN or Fox News Network to make a public announcement, you know, to have a press call to say exactly who he is. He's just been kind of working the streets, you know. So, there you have it. Speculation, as we see, was not invented by CNN or Fox News Network. Speculation has been going on since biblical times. And speculation can be a bad thing if it's used like the news media's use it, okay, to keep the hype going on a story to build ratings. I mean, let's face it, that's what they did in this last story. That's a bad thing. But speculation can be a good thing if the people or group that's being speculated about wants to see what kind of an impact they're making in the world around them. If they want to find out, well, what kind of impression am I giving people? And this was in the case of Jesus, this is exactly what he was doing. He wanted to see just what people were thinking about him. So he asked those questions. Who am I? Who do they say I am? Well, he got some pretty interesting answers, didn't he? Some said Elijah. Some said John the Baptist. Some said one of the prophets reincarnated or something. And then, of course, when he asked the disciples, Peter being who Peter is, Peter was a pretty bold guy and he always said something before he thought about it, but this time he was pretty much on the mark. He says, you're Christ. So Jesus got some good answers and maybe some not so good answers. But at least maybe he was hopeful because the disciples were beginning to catch on a little bit. The point is, this is a good question that we should be still asking today when we're engaged in conversation with people. Who do you think Jesus is? It's a great way to start a conversation about your faith and to witness to people. To be talking to somebody in the grocery line and say, you know, by the way, we got six people ahead of us. We got some time to kill. Let me ask you something. Who do you think Jesus is? Or what is your impression of Jesus? You know, what do you know about him? See where the people are. It's a great way to start a conversation and go into witnessing. Along with that question are two more good questions. The first question, of course, being, who is Jesus? The second one being, what do they think Bethel is? What is Bethel United Methodist Church? What does Bethel mean? What if we went out there? You know, people are speculating about it. This is what people do. This is what we do. We speculate about other things. So what if we went out and asked, well, what do you think about Bethel United Methodist Church? What do you think it is? We might get some interesting answers. We might get, well, it's a nice, quaint chapel where weddings and funerals are done. Well, that's not untrue. That's not bad. We might get, well, it's where religious people go and sing and talk. That's not bad either. If we asked each other, we'd probably get, well, it's a wonderful church where warm and loving people just reach out to each other. And you know what? That's not so bad either. But what really is Bethel? What does Bethel mean? Do we really know if somebody says, what does Bethel mean? I had that question asked to me not too long ago, and I had to look with a dumb look. I don't know. So I went to the Bible and I started looking. And I'd like for you to, I'm going to work you a little bit today. I'd like you to turn to Genesis 28:10. And I want you to follow along with me as I read about a part of a chapter out of there. Genesis 28, I'm going to mess it up yet. Genesis 28:10. We're going to start there and we're going to go through a couple of verses there. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father, Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Every time I read that, and I've read it a couple times over the past couple of days, I get excited. So Bethel means house of God, the gateway to heaven, where the Lord can be found. So now I ask you, the next time somebody comes up to you and says, what does Bethel mean? What is Bethel United Church, United Methodist Church about? You can say, it's an awesome place. It's the house of God. It's where the Lord can be found and met, and a relationship started. It's the gateway to heaven. Man, I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it. I gotta take my coat off. I'm getting goosebumps. Man, is that not exciting? So Don't you think that'll excite people if we share that with them, what Bethel's about? That we're the gateway to heaven? That we're the house of God? That we're where they can come and meet the Lord? I'm excited. And speaking of gateways, I heard just the other day that several Christians have prophesied that Tallahassee, now I know this will be hard to swallow, but they've prophesied that Tallahassee is going to be, or is, the gateway to a revival for the state of Florida. It's true. This is what they've said. And it furthermore, that the state of Florida has been prophesied as the gateway to a revival for the entire country. This is what they say. Could be true. To me, that's exciting. Because that means Bethel is right in the middle of it. Bethel is not only the gateway to heaven, but could possibly be the gateway to a great revival in this country. Or part of that gateway. I was excited yesterday when I was writing this. I was just all over the place. I'm still excited. This is great stuff. So we need to be asking people, what do you think of Bethel? What do you think about Bethel United Methodist Church? What's your impression? Checking the speculation that's going on. And again, we need to be ready for some answers that might be a little different. And we need to be ready to set the record straight. Now you have it from the Bible what Bethel is. Take it and run with it. The third question that we need to be asking, or should ask, the people around us, and I don't mean the ones sitting in the pews next to you, because we all love each other, so we're going to be nice to each other. But the third question we need to be asking the people that we come in contact with on a daily basis is, who do they say we are? Oh, now I've done it. I've really gotten into a question, haven't I? Who do they say we are? Who do they say you are? They might say, well, if you ask, what's going on out there? What do people say I am? Who do they say I am? Maybe you go to work and ask a close coworker, you know, what do people at work say about me? What kind of person they say I am? You might get somebody that says, well, everybody thinks you're real nice. Or you might get somebody that says, well, they think you're a religious nut. Well, that's not so bad either, really, but they might think, well, you know, they might say, well, you know, people have been saying that you're just a really kind and trustworthy person. Not too bad. Or some of them might say, you know, people think you're a snob. Ooh. How many people, though, would refer to you, how many people would answer, well, I'll tell you what people think of you. They think you're a Christian or a child of God or a disciple of Christ. I wonder how many would think that of us. Don't be surprised at some of the answers you get when you ask that, but we need to ask that. After all, we are disciples of Christ. We are the representatives of the church and of Jesus Christ and of our God. So the impression that people have of us is going to directly affect the impression they have of God, of Christ, of the church. But don't be afraid of the answers. You may not like some of them. And if you don't, there's a very simple recipe for dealing with that. Get on your knees, pray over those answers, give them to God, and ask Him to help you change that impression. If you do like all the answers that people are giving you, if you happen to be one of those folks that everybody says, oh, old Joe, he's just a great guy, he's a super Christian, and we love him and everything else, well then bless you, because you're doing better than most of us. I can tell you, I know this old preacher boy right here. I've got some folks that would tell me they thought I was really nice, and I've got some others that would tell me some things I don't want to hear. I got a little work to do. Maybe some rest of us got some work to do. The point is, we need to be asking these questions. We need to be checking the speculation. Other people do it. News media does it. That's what people do. And let's face it. If we're out there checking people's speculation, we want them to be talking about us. We want them to be talking about the church. We want them to be talking about our Lord and Savior. If they're not, and if they're talking about it, we want to make sure that they've got the truth, right? We'd rather them spend time talking about, man, that's an interesting church over there. Those are great people. Or boy, I tell you what, they really know how to worship the Lord. They really know about Jesus. It'd be a lot better if they spent time talking about that this weekend than the FSU football game yesterday. Ooh. I watched part of that. We need to pray for those boys. But we do. I mean, if they're going to speculate about something, if people are going to be talking about something, why not have them talk about Jesus? Why not keep them talking about the Lord, talking about the church, talking about what we're doing here? But if we're going to do that, we need to make sure they're speaking the truth. We need to clear up any misunderstandings. We need to take care of any, we need to take care of any misunderstandings, any misrepresentations they may be saying. We need to ask. And we don't need to be afraid to ask. Now, I know some of you may be saying, oh, well, I don't know how to get out there and do that kind of talking. And, you know, that's not me. I'm real nervous about talking to people about Jesus. I'm afraid, you know, the devil's going to come out of them and slap me silly. Yeah, I'm just not a speaker, you know. I don't talk like that. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to witness, for heaven's sakes. And don't be afraid to ask the tough questions. Because just like many, 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 many saints before you, lots of them we can read right in here in the Bible, they were all nervous too. But they kept the faith, and they went and they asked the questions. And they went and they preached the gospel. And guess what happened? Because God loves them, and because God loves you, He won't leave you. He'll send the Holy Spirit to be beside you, to guide you, to whisper in your ear what to say. You don't have to think. You just say, okay, Lord, lead me. And He'll give you the words. He puts the words in your mouth. He puts the actions in your heart. So don't be afraid. God will give you what to say and what to do, all because He loves you. And then if you do get in over your head, or feel like you're getting in over your head with a conversation with somebody, or you do start to get nervous, God will rescue you from harm. He's not going to send you out there to the fields to go harvest and to go witness and to ask the questions, what are people thinking, and try to engage them in talk and then leave you on your own. If you do get in over your head or start to get into trouble, all you got to do is say, Lord, I'm in over my head. I'm messing it up. Help me, Jesus. Give me the words. I'm making a muck of it. And He'll help you. That's all we have to do. So what are the three questions? Who do they say Jesus is? What do they say Bethel is? And who do they say we are? We need to be thinking about those questions as we go through our daily lives, for sure. And how we're representing, what kind of answer we're giving people, and how we're representing those questions. We need to ask those questions too. Maybe we start off with some people we know and trust, and then work our way around. So ask the questions. Pray about the answers, good or bad, and set the record straight. If people are going to talk about the church and about Jesus and about Bethel and about each one of us, well, praise God, but let's make sure they're saying the truth. Don't be afraid, because God loves you and He's with you. Ask the questions. Will you pray with me?